Amen. Thanks, Dad. I see some new faces on this morning, so good morning once again. And if we haven't met yet, my name is Drew Martin. I'm the other pastor here at West Charlotte Church. And this morning, we are going to continue our series through the New Testament wisdom book of James. And the last few weeks, for those of you who've been on, we've seen what James has to say about wisdom in general. And we've also seen the way that the Lord gives us wisdom in his word for life's trials. And this morning, we're going to look particularly. James turns, and he turns to apply wisdom to a particular issue that we have all experienced, and in fact, a particular issue that our world right now is really, really struggling with, and that is showing favoritism. This favoritism that James is talking about in this passage that we are getting ready to look at is the root of the racism that is so prevalent in our society today. Amen? And I know that we've all been feeling this, different ways we've been feeling it, but we've all been feeling this. And so this morning we're going to look at that, that for James, and for that matter, for the Bible in general, that showing favoritism, we're going to see, is a justice issue. It is an issue of justice. Showing favoritism is wrong, James is going to tell us. In fact, James is going to tell us that showing favoritism is sinful. And so if we're going to understand that this morning, before we even turn to the passage, we need to ask, what do we mean when we talk about showing favoritism? So here's some definitions are helpful. Being precise is helpful. One of the helpful things that's going on in our society right now, and here the world out there, the world is actually on point. One of the helpful things that is happening in our society right now is that there is some common grace wisdom that is being developed. Some natural wisdom, if you will. The world, at least here in our part of the world, the world is working to develop some terms for talking about social issues. And we can benefit from thinking about some of that language, especially when it comes to favoritism. So what's favoritism? Here's an attempt at a definition. Actually, I didn't attempt this. I just took it from the dictionary. This is, I think, from the Oxford Dictionary. It says, the favoritism is the practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. Let me say that again. Favoritism is the practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. I actually think that's a pretty good definition and pretty close to the definition that James is working with in this passage. And the thing to notice there is that favoritism is a practice. It's something that we do. So favoritism is more than prejudice. Prejudice is a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. There's another dictionary definition for you. Prejudice is bad. And favoritism is even worse. Prejudice is an opinion. And favoritism is a practice. A harmful practice based on that bad opinion. So again, let's be very clear. Prejudice is very bad. And favoritism is even worse. The favoritism that James is going to talk about in this passage is even worse. An unjust opinion is bad. But unjust preferential treatment is even worse. So favoritism is even worse than prejudice. And while we're at it, let's also distinguish. Favoritism is not the same thing as discrimination. Favoritism is a type of discrimination. So discrimination is a particular way of applying prejudice, a particular way of applying favoritism. Discrimination is the unjust or prejudicial treatment of different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race or age or sex. And so now you see where we really come to one of the societal evils, one of the deepest matters of injustice that our world is dealing with right now, that our world is struggling with right here, right now, in our own day, that we are struggling with. And I think while we're at it, we should also admit that this isn't just something that the world is struggling with, but this is something that the church is struggling with. That the kind of favoritism that is rooted in prejudice and can be applied in discrimination is some of the very same system that the church is struggling with. It's not just out there in the world, it's here in the church. It's among Christians. And so it's good for us to admit that. And one of the things that I am so grateful for is that as a Christian who believes in the God that's revealed in the Bible, that God has given us teachings in the Bible that address these issues. The Bible speaks deeply to matters of injustice. And the Bible, in fact, speaks to prejudice. And the Bible speaks to discrimination. And in this passage that we're getting ready to look at, it looks at the root of those things, which is favoritism. And I am so grateful for how the Bible addresses these issues head on, offering us not only wisdom, but we're going to see this morning that it also offers us grace. So this morning we have this opportunity, not just right now, but also in neighborhood groups and later on as we continue to reflect. We have an opportunity to reflect deeply on favoritism, which James wants us to see is the root of discrimination. So we have an opportunity to reflect deeply on that and to see that James has no time for it. So let's see why. Turn with me to James chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 1 through 13. So look with me at James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This is God's word. James says to us this morning, "My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a person wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a person in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor one, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? And so if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, then you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. So mercy triumphs over judgment." This is the word of the Lord. So let's pray and ask God to help us to hear it this morning. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears and help us to hear truth this morning, to hear justice this morning, and that you would convict us, and that through that you would help us to see that we need you, that we need a Savior. So I pray this morning that we would hear justice and that you would help us to receive your mercy as we hear that justice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a very simple first point this morning. In fact, two simple points in this passage. The first simple point in the first half of the passage is don't show favoritism. Instead, see people as God sees them. That's the first part of the passage. So James is telling us that favoritism in the church is wrong and that God's people must not judge by outward appearances. Verse 1 says that those that hold the faith, look at it. It says in verse 1, those who hold the faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, must show no partiality. And as we have seen, James says this in regards to how we view people on the basis of wealth. If you have faith in Jesus, it is wrong to show preferential treatment on the basis of wealth. It's sinful to show preferential treatment on the basis of wealth. And it's bad enough when this happens out in the world, but it is especially evil when it happens in the church. Favoritism on the basis of wealth, James says, is injustice. It's wrong and it's sinful. So that's the most simple basic point. But James doesn't stop there with just the simple point. This isn't just a meme this morning. He helps us to understand this in a profound way by giving us three reasons that showing favoritism, showing unjust preferential treatment, is wrong. And those three reasons have to do with doubt, denial, and dishonor. I'll say, points don't always begin with the same letter, but this morning it works. So first, we're going to start with doubt. Favoritism in the church on the basis of outward appearances is equated with doubt. To show favoritism is to doubt God. If you look at verse 4, James says, when we make distinctions, here's a Greek word for you, diakrinos. When we diakrinos between the rich and the poor, when we make distinctions in the church, we are like the Old Testament judges with evil thoughts that Pastor Charles read to us about earlier in the book of Leviticus. What James is doing when he uses that word, making distinctions, diakrinos, is he's calling back to chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 6, he used that same word to mean doubt. And there, James says that the one who diakrinos is the one who doubts and is tossed about by the wind and the waves of the sea. So here he says that the one who diakrinos is the one who shows unjust preferential treatment. So for James in this book, what he's trying to do is paint us this picture where the person who doubts in chapter 1 is the one who treats people unfairly in chapter 2. Doubting God leads us to favoritism. I don't know if you've ever thought about favoritism in this way, that this isn't just a sin against people, but it's actually a sign of sin against God. That's how bad it is. To show favoritism is a demonstration of doubt in God. To show favoritism is a direct violation of faith in God. God says that we should see people as he sees them and treat them accordingly. And so when we show favoritism, what we're doing is we're doubting God. And not only are we doubting God, but James moves on and he deepens that description. He says we're not only doubting God, but we're actually denying him. We're denying his choice. Favoritism in the church on the basis of outward appearances contradicts God's choice. Verse 5, if you look at that, verse 5 says, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? So right here, James is following this basic pattern in the Bible, that God chooses out of love and mercy, not on the basis of outward appearances or circumstances. In the New Testament, we get this very clearly. So if you've ever read Ephesians, you know this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, not because of anything in us or particular to us, not because of anything outward about us. God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And that's an Old Testament idea too. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, it wasn't because Israel was more in number than the other people that the Lord set his love on them and that he chose them, for they were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because God loves them. So the point is that God has a special love for his people, but it's not based on outward appearances. So, in other words, when we deny God's people who are in Christ, we are denying God's choice. God has not shown preferential treatment to the wealthy. Instead, God has chosen on the basis of God's own wisdom and character. And we've seen that this morning. The Bible says, again, as Pastor Charles read in Romans chapter 10 this morning, that all people who call on God's name will receive eternal riches through salvation in Christ. So God has chosen to save all who call on his name, all who call on the name of the Lord. And so that is who receives preferential treatment. God does show favor, but he shows favor in all who call on his name, all who are his people. That is who God shows favor to. He doesn't show favor based on outward circumstances or anything else, outward appearances. So to give preferential treatment on the basis of those things is not only to doubt God, but it's to deny God. It's to reject God. It's to actively oppose God. And so James doesn't stop there. Not only is doubt, it's not only denial, but it's actually dishonoring, not only to others, but it's dishonoring to God. What James goes on to say is that favoritism in the church is wrong because refusing to honor God's people and refusing to honor God, they go hand in hand. They're connected. If you look at verse 7, you can see this. Verse 7 highlights the ways in which when we elevate the rich, when we, at least the rich who oppress the poor, when we elevate the rich who are unjust, what we're doing is that we are elevating those who also blaspheme God's very name. So James asks, this is his question, verse 7. He says, are the rich not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? So what James means is that when we dishonor God's people, we dishonor God. This is the same thing that he's going to go on and talk about in chapter 3. We're going to get there in a few weeks. If you go to chapter 3 and you look at verse 9, you'll see that James says that when we speak evil of human beings who are created in God's image, that we are cursing God. When we curse people who are given God's image, it's like we're cursing God. So honoring God means honoring people created in God's image. It means seeing people the way that God sees them. So this morning, again, just back to the basic point. Let's understand that showing favoritism, showing unjust special treatment on the basis of external appearances and circumstances is evil. And it is a sin. Favoritism is sinful because the person who shows favoritism doubts God, denies God, and therefore dishonors God. And so this morning, we need to feel the weight of that. And that feeling, that weight of that, needs to lead us to reflection. We need to think deeply today, this week, and in the days ahead about what this means. And this morning, I'd like to give us just two brief applications to get us started in that process. If we want to obey God in this, if we want to reject favoritism, it means that we need to look for wisdom and we need to pursue it with willingness. And so those are the two brief applications that I want to make for us this morning from this. It takes wisdom first. It takes wisdom to know the difference between proper preferential treatment and unfair preferential treatment. That's not always easy. Some preferential treatment is obviously wrong. This example that James gives in this passage, it's obviously wrong. When you treat the rich in this way, give them the special seats in the assembly, that's obviously wrong. It doesn't take that much wisdom to know that. But some preferential treatment, on the other hand, is obviously right. If you think about the way that a parent has a special obligation to take care of their own children, that's a good form of preferential treatment. So some preferential treatment is obviously wrong, and some preferential treatment is obviously right. But most of the time, it's not obvious when it's good or bad to give preferential treatment. It's complicated. And so it's important for us to ask God for wisdom and to think deeply about how we can rightly show preferential treatment and avoid showing favoritism, unjust preferential treatment. So I just want to give one example of this that has to do with how the church has actually pursued missions. I think we may have mentioned this before at our church a few times, but it's something that we want to bring up time and time again. There was this principle that was in missions textbooks for many years, and it's called the homogeneous unit principle. Homogeneous, the same, unit, the group, principle, the same group, principle. And the homogeneous unit principle is an idea in missions that the way churches grow fastest is by gathering together groups of people who are most like themselves. That is how churches grow fast. And this is not in doubt. Sociological study after sociological study shows that this is true. You want to grow a church fast, gather together people who are like each other. That's how you make a big church. That's how you look successful. And for a long time, especially after the 1960s, when you look in missions textbooks in Christian circles, this was not only observed, but it was endorsed. This is how you do it. This is how you plant a new church. This is how you reach people. Go get people who are like themselves. They're going to network with all their friends. They're going to enjoy being like other people who are like them, and your church is going to grow. And it works, except for there's only one problem. And I don't think at our church we have to spend too much time pointing out the problem, because I think we know it, right? The problem with this is that God commands us to be united in Jesus, not to be united in fill in the blank other thing. And the problem with the church, and especially the church in America, is that too many of our churches are united around fill in the blank other thing, and they're not united around Jesus. And that principle is wrong. It's an example of showing favoritism. So, though that principle is wrong and it seems obvious to us, it wasn't obvious for many years to many people. And there was wisdom needed to see that. Fortunately, now people are starting to observe that. We can gain from that wisdom. But I know for certain that in our church, there have to be other ways in which we are making that same mistake now. And we need to grow. So we need to do some reflection. All right. So that's wisdom. We need wisdom. And the second thing we need is willingness. We need to be willing to do this reflection. We need to be willing to have uncomfortable conversations in order to do this reflection. And I'm praying that today, and even our neighborhood groups, that there's some spaces for that and in the days ahead. So we need to be willing. We need to make sacrifices. We need to deal with the discomfort that's going to come. And we even need to apologize to one another for the ways in which that we need to grow in this area. We need willingness in addition to wisdom. Wisdom alone isn't going to do this. We have to be willing to do it. So those are two things that I want to give us this morning as exhortations. So that is a lot of law this morning. Sometimes the Bible is a lot of law. But James doesn't only give us law this morning. And so where we're going to conclude this morning is with the picture of grace. And what James actually does in the second half of the passage is he uses the law in order to make us feel the weight of sin, so that we can appreciate more deeply what Jesus has done for us. So I hope you feel this morning. In verse 9, in the second half of the passage, James helps us to see that we have received God's favor and therefore should show love and mercy to others by showing us how we failed to do that. He says in verse 9, violating the poor is violating God's law. Let me apply that to us. If we have shown partiality, then we have committed sin and are convicted by God's law as transgressors. So the question for us this morning is, have we ever shown favoritism, unjust preferential treatment? Have you ever done that? Feel the weight of what that means. To make that weight just a little bit heavier, to feel it a little more deeply. James goes on to remind us, this is verses 10 and 11. If you have violated one part of God's law, then you have violated all of God's law. If you have violated God, then you have violated God. If you have shown favoritism, you've not only violated God's law, but you have violated God. We are transgressors if we have shown favoritism. Feel the weight of that. And not only that, but thirdly, James says that God's law isn't a threat, it's a blessing, it's a law of liberty. That's verse 12. God actually told us what was good. He told us how to experience freedom. He told us how life would work. And so not only have we violated God's law and violated God, but we've hurt ourselves by doing it. We've hurt others. We have contributed to the brokenness in this world. We have done. If you have committed favoritism, then you have contributed to this. Feel the weight of this. And with the full weight of that on your shoulders, then remember this. There is only one person who has faithfully refused to show favoritism. And there's only one person who laid down his life against those who had rejected him in order that their sins might be forgiven, that they might be restored to God and receive God's favor. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus embraced disfavor so that through faith in him, we could have God's favor. So in 2 Corinthians, you can write this passage down if you want to. It's a good one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says this. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." That is what Jesus Christ has done for sinners like us who have violated God's law. He became poor so that we could become rich. And we are called to believe in him, to trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, to have a new heart by his Holy Spirit, and to show this same love and mercy that God has shown to us. We are called to show it to others. So if you need a motivation for those conversations today, if you feel like that conversation is too hard today, Jesus says to us, remember what he has done for us and embrace his wisdom and be willing to show that love and mercy to others and to have those conversations and to pursue that work. God shows us to show love and mercy as we remember that he has shown us undeserved favor. So let's not show favoritism, but let's show love and mercy because of what God has done for us this morning. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, I do pray that you would help us, that you'd help us to see the ways in which we have fallen short and that we'd be willing to admit it. Humble us and give us eyes to see our sin, not so that we can be weighed down, but so that we can be freed. So that we can remember what you've done for us, so that we can therefore show that same love and mercy to others. Father, I pray that our church would be a place where this picture of favoritism is not found and it is constantly being put to death. And when we find it, that we would admit it and that we would do it better. Father, I pray that we would do that not in our own strength, but because of our gratitude and our thankfulness for what you have done for us. Help us to rely on you to do that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.